You have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. Begin reading with verse 15. I don't know if y'all have noticed it, but some perilous times are upon us. I never understood how one gas pipeline could run gas up 20-something cents a gallon when it was only offline for a week. Of course, I know what that is, and you do too. One cow gets sick, and the farmer going to raise the price of milk because he got them other 100 he's going to make more money off of. Lord. But even in the midst of all of that, we need to understand something important. No matter how bad things get, God is still in control of our lives. And I don't know about y'all, but he didn't bring me this far to let me drown. Hello? It's no song by the Imperials. He didn't bring us this far to let us die, to let us fall apart, let us go down. He brought us this far to finish the race, to win the race, to overcome. And for that reason, we need to hear what Paul writes in the church at Ephesus. He said, "Wherefore I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Move on us, God, and make us, Lord, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look right now, and say, "God's on my side." Notice the Bible said he's been given a name that is above every name. Isn't that awesome? When I was in high school, I had a problem in that I got myself in trouble a lot because I wouldn't back down from folks. Y'all wouldn't believe that about me. But I just was a type person. If I thought I was right, I didn't back down. If I thought I was wrong and I was in the right place, I wouldn't back down. Problem I had, they mixed the school. They closed another school, put all them over there, and I had a problem because some of those guys was much bigger than me. They were meaner than me, and I still got into bad trouble because I'd stand up to them. But I found out one day that they all had fear of this one guy. His name was Kenneth Cabell. Kenneth Cabell was 6'6", 250-something pounds, and there wasn't any fat on him. He was an athlete. I played basketball with him. That's how I got to know him. And we got to be friends. And from that day forward, anybody fool me in the school, somebody say, "Hey, Cabell got his slack." And all I had to do was mention Cabell had my slack, and nobody wanted to fool with me. I could walk down with impunity because nobody wanted to fool with me because Cabell had my slack because they knew he was meaner than a snake. And you know what? It really helped me. And when I got saved, I struggled just like everybody else does, trying to live right, trying to get started for God. And then one day it hit me. Jesus has got my back. I don't have to worry about it because if I invoke his name, even more than the fear hit those people about Cabell, when I say the name of Jesus, demons have to bow. The devil has to back off because his name is greater than any name that's ever been put our way. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. See, I believe we're living in perilous times. The Bible said it was going to happen. Men would be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, incontinent. What's that? Out of control. How out of control you got to be to shoot somebody because they didn't put on a turn signal? And then we talk about, well, we need to keep our guns. I agree with us keeping our guns, but we got some folks don't need no guns. They stupid. Hello? That's good preaching, Ken. Amen. Glory. I mean, we got people getting killed over some of the dumbest stuff, and it's ridiculous. We got some folks just shooting people because they decided they didn't like the way they look. Glory. But the reality is we're in a world that's out of control. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Have we ever lived in a world that chased pleasure so much they don't care anything about living right? They make excuses for doing wrong because it's okay if it feels good, do it. No, it's not. If it's wrong, you don't do it. I don't care who you are. Don't come to me and tell me you could commit adultery and go to heaven. It's in the book. That's good preaching, Ken. I say I'm going to have to amen myself this morning. Lord, I could do like the guy wrote the song, I Found My Lily in the Valley. He's preaching at Buell one time. They got real quiet on him. He just reached his pocket and do like that. Somebody said, what are you doing? He said, I brought my own amen. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Lord, amen. But the reality is, church, that's where we are in this world. The world's falling apart around us. And notice what it said later on in that verse. It said, and they will be led away like silly women, being deceived by those people that deceive them. Church, we're living in a world where people are preaching to us stuff and claiming it's in the book, and we don't read the book enough to know if it is or not. Come on, church. The other Wednesday night, I got up and asked a question. I said, I want to know, do we need to get rid of this particular gas, this particular element? It's been found in humors. It's been found in cysts. It's been known to make people vomit. It's been known to burn people in some state. It's been known to cause headaches. And I, you know, I just wanted to take a vote, see what they'd say. Young man did that in his class, and 50 people, 47 of them, said, we need to get rid of that. That's bad. It was called dihydrogen monoxide. Now, if my son was here, he'd laugh because that's simply the official word for water. And then people voted to get rid of water because, see, water can burn you if it's in the right state and make you vomit if you drank too much or you're too hot. I mean, and it's found in almost every tumor they find on people because you get fluid around it, which is nothing but water. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, if you get rid of water, you got rid of most of you. Because we ain't nothing but dirt and water. We're just a sack of mud. Glory. Come on, church. Just read your Bible. It's in there. Amen. If God scooped up dirt and made the first man, we're made from the same product line. Glory. Amen. But church, the reality is we need to understand where we are. We're in a world where we're falling apart. Things are going wrong. People are being deceived. They're being told one thing when the truth of the matter is God's trying to tell us something else. And that's what the Bible said was going to happen. At times we're going to get tough. And because of that, we need power to be overcomers. And we need to understand the power that God's got for us. And Paul said, I'm praying for you at Ephesus that you will get your eyes open. Why? Because in the book of Corinthians, it said, for the God of this world had blinded them to the gospel. Amen. Now that God is a little G, meaning the devil, has put blinders on people so they can't see the reality of the gospel and understand what God's trying to say to us. And we got folks sitting in our church that put the blinders on themselves, because if you don't read the word, you ain't going to have an idea what's in the word. And therefore, you put the blinders on. The devil don't have to keep you from seeing what's there and understanding it. But the truth of the matter is, Paul said, I want you to have your eyes of the Lord would enlighten you, and you'd understand the power that has been given unto you. And church, we need that power. Several years ago, I read a story. There's a lady lived out in a rural area, and they brought electricity to the area. And I know all y'all going, well, everybody's got electricity. I can remember when folks in Buell didn't have electricity. I mean, it cost money, and they didn't have money, so they didn't have electricity. And I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but it would cost you, because if you live way off the main road, you had to pay to have the wire run to your house to get the electricity. This one lady paid a bunch of money, got electricity to her house. After a while, the power company got to notice that she wasn't losing a lot of electricity. So they sent somebody out to see if there was a problem. The guy went out and checked. Everything worked good. Meter was set. Everything was doing fine. He goes up and said, ma'am, we're trying to figure out why you're not using much electricity. She said, oh, it works fine. When it gets dark, we turn it on to light the lamps, and then we turn it right back off. Glory. And I know some of y'all sitting there going, so that's stupid. Is it about as stupid as going to church, singing songs, clapping your hands, and wasting the power God put in your life because you don't want to use it, you don't want to pay the price to have it? Oh, come on, church. Y'all should have known I was headed somewhere with that. Amen. But we come to church, we pay the price, and we walk out with no more power than what we walked in with because we're not tapping into the source every time we come to the house of God. We need to tap into the power of God. We need to tap into the anointing of God. We need to tap into what God wants to do in our lives. And when we do, we come up with the power of God. Could you say amen? Notice this. The Apostle Paul wrote some encouraging words to the people at Ephesus. He said, I know times are troubling, but the power of God is for you. And he said, I'm praying that you find the exceeding greatness of his power that is to usward. First of all, the definition of power. The human terms, power, is a nebulous term. There's good power and bad power. That's not really true. Power in the hands of a bad person is bad power. Power in the hands of a good person is good power. So it's got to do with the person using the power and how they use it. Hello? Power to have control or influence over others. Power to have ability. Power to have energy from a source. That's the human definition of power. You know, that guy's got power because he has an office. So therefore, he has power. We're plugged into the source, so we have power. Now, God's definition of power. Paul uses some very descriptive language of God's power in the passage of exploring the conditions. Paul uses a Greek word, dunamis, amen, for power. It is the same word in the English that we get the word dynamic or dynamite. Literally, it means to have incredible power. Paul's description of God's power also reveals that it is active. God is the process of working his plan and moving through history with power. God's power is revealed in his ability to complete his divine plan. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? First of all, the description of power. Number one, incomparable. Amen. Paul is saying that God's power is all-surpassing, unlimited, beyond imagination. Literally, there is nothing we can compare to the power of God because nothing we have can even come close. God's power is greater than our imagination. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I don't know about y'all, but I really don't comprehend how it happened. I don't question it because the book says it happened. But in the beginning, there was nothing. God said, let there be, and everything came out of nothing. I don't know about you, but I don't know nobody in this building can take nothing and make something out of it. Like the old song, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. In Jethro Bodine's ideology, all from all's all, because all ain't nothing. You stick a one in front of it, and that booger gets mean. That was the way he described it. Glory. But the truth of the matter is nothing, and you can't make nothing out. You can't make something out of nothing. But God did. Not only did he make something out of nothing, but he turned around, hung nothing on nothing, and told nothing to stay there. And everything we have came from nothing because in the beginning, God. I can't fathom that. I don't understand it, but I wasn't told to do that. I don't understand how God does what he does, but I still believe. Come on, church. Some of y'all look at me like, well, preacher, if you can't believe it, if you can't understand it, that's the problem. You'll never understand God. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass, give white milk, but I love to drink the milk, so I ain't asking no questions. Glory. The reality is, church, we've got to get to that place we understand God's power is beyond our imagination. I cannot even begin to think about what God can do, but I understand this. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and in that power I have the ability to overcome everything that comes against me. Could you say amen? Notice this. It's great. Our misuse of the word great is bad, you know. I got a great job, had a great meal. Now, I've been to some places where I had a great meal. I remember eating a steak at Bug Tuff, so that was a pretty great meal. It was 64 ounces plus everything went with it, and it was free, so that made it great. Hello? Smile. Some of y'all look at me like you couldn't do that. My name was on the wall when the place burnt. Glory. Santa Fe Steakhouse opened in Tuscaloosa. They had a 32-ounce steak. I went there for Father's Day. My wife said, what do you want? I said, I want that 33-ounce steak. She said, well, you'll never eat that. You have to take it home. I said, you'd buy me what I wanted. If you ate it, you got a T-shirt. You got your picture on the wall. You got a card that gave you a discount the rest of the year on everything that was at your table. I'm sitting there eating that steak. She said, you're not ever going to eat all that. And I said, if you hush, I'll get through. She said, I just can't believe you can eat that. I said, Frida, I eat one twice this size at Bug Tussle. It's not going to be a problem. The next Sunday, Pastor got up and he said, I went to Santa Fe Steakhouse. Guess whose picture was the first one on the wall that eat that steak? And it was me. I got the little card. I got my T-shirt. Amen. But that's really not a good use of the word great. We talk about great, meaning deeper, gives an expression of explosive power. My God's power is explosive. It's beyond measure. Not only is it beyond my imagination, but I can't measure the power of God. I can measure a lot of things in this world, but there's no way I can ever comprehend to measure the power of a God who can look at an entity and say, go! And he goes from zero to 186,000 miles a second. Glory. See, I just blew some of your mind, but Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning coming out of the sky. That was when God threw him out of heaven. He went from zero to 187,000 miles a second. That's the speed of light. Glory. I can't measure that. I don't know how to figure it out. But I know this, God's got that kind of power. And you say, what are you getting at? Next time Satan's at your house, let him know the fellow that chunked him out of heaven's fixing to show up. He don't like getting thrown that fast. He'll move before he gets there. Come on, church. Amen. God's power is great. But notice this, God's power is working, which gives us the impression that it's always active. God's power doesn't stop. The book of Psalms says he never sleeps. He never slumbers. 24/7, 365 days out of the year, God's on the job and his power's there to work. God is a working God. He's a God of activity. Come on, church. Amen. So the next time you don't think anything's going on in your life, wake up and realize there is a God who loves you, a God that wants to turn you upside down, a God that can move in your life and do things you didn't know he could do. Glory. He's a working God. Gives us the ability. God's power gives us ability to work for him. Amen. Well, preacher, I just don't know if I can do that. You'd be surprised what you do if God gets a hold of him and gets you to doing it. I remember telling the pastor, I don't know nothing about bus ministry. He said, we'll take care of that. Sent me to Mississippi. 85-year-old woman taught me bus ministry. End result, 140-something people coming to church on buses because I finally figured out I could do bus ministry. Amen. I'll never forget, 6 weeks in, I got about 6-8 kids on the bus. I went in his office one morning. I said, this ain't working. Ain't my cup of tea. You got to find somebody else. I pitched the keys to him. I walked back to the door. He said, hey, keys coming through there. I said, whoosh. He said, took Noah 120 years to get 8 people on the boat. You way ahead of schedule. Oh. Somehow I realized I was going to keep doing bus ministry. God's power's working. But notice this. Paul said God's power's mighty. Literally, this is saying that God's power is his own. There is no other source that gives God power. Can you say amen to that, church? Isn't it great to know that I got the God that is a source of his own power? He don't have to make sure there's no energy drain going somewhere else. He don't have to worry about running out of power because his batteries went down. Amen. But my God is the source of his power. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. You know what that means? I don't own it. It's his. My Bible tells me all power belongeth unto God. Amen. That means he lets me use it from time to time. He works through me from time to time. My source of power is him. Without him, I am nothing. And we need to realize that. I'm not able to do anything, but in him, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me and give me power to be an overcomer. Could you say amen? It's impossible for anyone to do anything except have faith in God. Nothing or no one is more powerful than God. Hello? I listened to kids tell me the other night about the zombie apocalypse. Y'all watched enough of that junk that you actually believe some dead people going to get up and chase us around. How you going to kill somebody that's already dead? I mean, on The Walking Dead, they kill them, but I mean, how do you kill somebody that's already dead? You couldn't. So if there was anything as a zombie apocalypse, nobody would survive. Great material to make a movie out of if you want to watch it. I remember we were first introduced to Dracula. Even before they were color movies, we had Dracula. Black and white. You couldn't even tell what color the blood was he was getting, but there was Dracula. And his little minion would eat bugs. Hello? And I got the opportunity to go to Romania. And I went to Transylvania, which is part of Romania. I spent a week there with a full moon looking at Dracula's castle every night we stopped. One of the guys with me, I'm going across the road. He said, "You can't go out there." I said, "Why?" He said, "It's a full moon." He was an overseer in the Church of God, was worried about me getting bit by a vampire or werewolf because we were in Transylvania on a full moon. I said, "Well, I'm fitting to go across the road over there and get me a drink. If Dracula needs one, if he's got a little quarter or something, he'll buy my drink, I'll give him a shot." Last time I looked, I'm overloaded anyway. I used to give blood. They won't take mine now because it's tainted. Lord. I'm serious. I've tried to give blood to UAB, and a woman said, "Well, have you got this?" "Yeah, well, we can't take your blood." "Well, I got it, so they won't take my blood." Jack wouldn't care. I mean, he's already dead. It can't do nothing but kill him again. He just go to bed and wake up tomorrow. Come on, church. Y'all know I'm being facetious. Because there's no such thing as vampires. Vladimir Tepes, who became known as Count Dracula, was one of the most beloved leaders of Transylvania they ever had. While he was over the country, there was very little crime. Because if you committed a crime, he stuck you on a stick, put you out on the side of the road, and let you rot. That's why he was known in history as Vlad the Impaler. Glory. Had very little war, because when he fought a war against the biggest of the country, he just impaled all the guys left over and stuck them on the corner of the thing. So when they come in the country again, they'd see all the bones of the guys that fought the last battle, and they'd think twice about, "Do we really want to fight this dude?" He couldn't be king because the church wouldn't let him be head of the church. So he took the name Count, took his daddy's name Dracula, and lost the name Vladimir Tepes. And he became a vampire for one reason. They want your money, and people pay thousands of dollars, billions of dollars a year to go over there and see his castle and where he was raised because they want to see if there's really vampires. There is no such thing as vampires. There's no such thing as zombies. And we need to get back to that place where we understand I got a God in me. If a vampire wants some, I got something for him. I'll lay hands on him and see him leave. We actually went to the village where Vladimir Tepes was raised. It's amazing. I got a picture somewhere in the house. I'm in a 14th century village with an ATM. It's built into one. They dug a hole in one of them ancient walls and stuck an ATM. I took a picture. I said, "Now this is what you call modernized for the 14th century. Glory." And I'm in there looking around. And Brother Tim, he'll come by me one time. He said, "What are you doing, Stroop? You keep going around looking up in the corner." I said, "I'm trying to find a bat." He said, "What are you going to do with it?" I said, "Dude, won't get out of the van. I'm going to go and throw it in the van with him." Next thing I know, he's going around. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "If I find one, you catch it." I said, "Sure." He was going to help me. Glory. Y'all not travel with preachers. We are devious. Dude wanted to buy a garlic necklace, and we in a van, a nine-passenger van with seven people packed in like sardines with our suitcases. He wanted to get a bat. I said, "Dude, you buy me. You ain't getting no garlic necklace." So he bought him a wooden cross. And once in a while, he'd look at me and put it between us. Glory. Church, why do we let things like that bother us? My Bible tells me I got 365 scriptures. That's one for every day of my life. It says I don't have to live in fear. It said, "Fear not," or "Be not afraid." That means I get up in the morning, I get a hold to God, and all day long I understand the power of God's in my back corner, and I've got nothing to be afraid of, nobody to be afraid of. Nothing's going to happen that God is not in control of. Glory. Notice this. He also calls it strength. Paul states that God's power is strong. That seems it is a little silly statement because we already know about God's power. But the word for Paul uses is a political term. In other words, when he said God's strong, he said God is the main man. He doesn't just have the power of the office of president. He's got power of control over the entire world. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is the governor of all governors. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Every parliament that sits understands he's still in charge. And no matter what law we pass, he's got to approve it. Come on, church. That's good stuff. Amen. He is a sovereign God. You know what that means? He don't have to have anybody's permission to make a law. He don't have to ask the 420 elders or anything like that. See, we don't understand monarchs because the only one we really know about is the Queen of England, and all she does is spend their money. You know, they keep talking about their financial problems. They spend $1 billion a year to keep that family up. I'd fire them going about my business. Hello? If you're from England, don't shoot me. But the truth of the matter is they spend billions of dollars on somebody who has no authority whatsoever because their parliament decides everything's going to happen and they have a man who runs the country. Hello? Or a woman, whoever holds that office right now. Point being, the monarchy has no power. We need to understand that if a king was in power in God's day, when this was written, all he had to do was speak and everybody jumped because it didn't make no difference whether it's right or wrong. He was the authority and nobody questioned his authority. What you need to understand, our God is a monarch. He doesn't need nobody's permission. He doesn't have to ask if it's going to be. He just speaks and it does come to pass. Could you say amen? Glory to God. I read the book of Habakkuk. He said, it shall not tarry, for the Lord our God shall speak and it surely shall come to pass. When God says it, that's all there is to it. We used to have them little bit tags you put on your car. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You don't need the middle line. If God said it, that settled it. Whether I believe it or not, God said it's going to happen, it happens. Believing just acquisitions it to my life. Listen, the designations of power. God's power is unimaginable. God's power is unmeasurable. God's power, him the ability to empower. God's power gives him ability to give ability. God's power gives him total and complete authority. God's power to us. God tells us the power to us. Just says that we have power to be overcomers in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory. Now, church, quick word study. In the English language, we have a very hard language to understand. I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but what makes our language so hard, we can put adverbs, adjectives, and stuff like that around our words and make them a different word. I can say the bald-headed man. I've just described some folks in this building. Y'all got to figure out who I'm talking about. But if I say the bald-headed man in the coat, I've cut it down a little bit. I say the bald-headed man with a coat, with glasses, I've cut it down even more. If I say the bald-headed man with glasses with a microphone in his hand, y'all pretty much figured out who I'm talking about. We use descriptive words, but we even have words in the English language. It's just a matter of what context you got it in. You can read a book or you could have read the book, but it's the same word. You could have insurance that's invalid for an invalid. It's the same word, just the way it's used. Come on, church. We have words in the English language that are the same either way you look at them. Race car. No matter where you read it, front or back, it's still race car. That is the largest one of those words. Glory. Hello. Just thought I'd throw that at you. Won't cost you nothing. I'm a plethora of unusual information. Amen. Hey. It's not my fault when I put something in, it sticks. Glory. I actually got a free meal off of that. They got on the phone, got on the radio one night, wanted to know what the largest palindrome was in the English language. And I got up to the thing, dropped that quarter in. That's back before they had cell phones. I dialed that number, the guy answered. I said, race car. He said, do what? I said, race car. He said, well, that's not what I got. I said, how long is that word? He missed it by one letter. I said, put race car down, see if it ain't one. He put it down. He said, you won the meal. Glory. It was a year and a half before I could eat that milk because it was 30-something. It was like 100-something miles away, and I had to wait till I went through that town again to get the free meal, but I got it. Glory. Amen. See, sometimes that stuff can be usable. But our language is messed up. See, in the Greek word, if they want to change a word, they just change a whole new word. There are five words in the Greek language that stand for power. And talk about power can be translated as power. And in some verses they are, some verses they aren't. But isn't it amazing that this guy, Paul, when writing to us, uses those words? Listen, you've got the first word we talked about a while ago. Amen. Dunamis. Strength, mighty power. We get the word dynamite out of it. You know, we got some church members, they got that kind of power. You light them one Sunday, they'll blow up, and it takes them another week before they can get lit again. Glory. But you should have power that makes you explosive on every, come on, church. When I played ball, coach wanted you to be explosive every play, not just on the first play. So it wasn't matter how strong you was, it was how long you'd last. I remember one time the number one draft pick on the defensive line was from Oklahoma, and they were talking about him squatting 300 pounds. Some guy said, well, my Lord, I squat 400-something pounds. I said, yeah, but can you do it 45 times? Because he did. That meant he had stability. It wasn't going to just flash for a play or two. He'd be there the whole ball game. Amen. That's the kind of power we're supposed to have. Not just flashes up on Sunday morning when they're singing Granny's favorite song, but something's with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when the devil shows up your house at midnight, you stand up and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And according to the authority that's in me, you got to go. And he's got to pay attention to what's going on in your life. Could you say amen? He also uses the word energeia. Amen. That is power or action. I know some of y'all don't want that. We got folks in this church who won't even read the book of Job because they misread it. Some of y'all get that in a minute if you don't see me after church, but you just put it in your mind, look at it real hard, and most of them don't want one, so they ain't reading the book in case they might get one. Glory. Energeia, energy. That's what we get from that word, energy. That's the power that's set in motion. That gives us the ability to move for God. Amen. Then there's the word kritos. That strength, exercise, and activity. Dominion, overpowering mastery. Dominion, might, power, strength. And the King James is highest diverted. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? That means we have the power to take authority over things. Hello? Notice this. There's also the word iskos. Inheritability. Whether exercised or not, strength that is possessive. It's ability, it's might, it's power, it's strength. Amen. Then you got another word, exousia. That word simply means force, capacity, competence, freedom, mastery. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. In the 19th verse through the 22nd verse, uses all five of those words. He says, according to the exceedingest greatness of his power, dunamis, to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Exousia, or energeia, kritos, esesus, which is wrought in Christ when we raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power, exousia. You know what he's saying in those three verses? That we in the church have power on top of power, on top of power, on top of power, on top of power to be overcomers in Jesus Christ. And we need to understand in the day when it seems like the world's falling apart, God has given power to the church to do that that needs to be done to accomplish what we need to be overcomers in the power of God's grace. Well, preacher, when I get to be a child of God, I get so sick of people telling me that. Got them and said, well, when we get translated, why are you waiting for something that's already happened? If you're born again, you ain't got to wait the translation to get in the family. Flash the scripture up. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I ain't got to wait till the trumpet sounds or I die and get on the other side. From the moment I got born again in an altar, I became part of the family of God, and I have the credentials. It's called a born again experience. It said, I am a member of the family. I am co-heir with Jesus, and because of that, I've got the authority to do that that God has called me to do in this world, not in the future, but right now, presently. I am a child of God. Could you? These young kids, they missed a lot of stuff. I remember when I was in school, we actually saw it. They showed it on TV. When little John Kennedy walked in right in the middle of a press conference with his dad, President of the United States. He walks in, crawls up in his daddy's lap while he's talking to the nation on national television. Now, that didn't happen every day. We didn't have 24-hour news services where they talked about everybody's brother's cousin's toe that was messed up. When the president was on TV, that was important because it only happened when he had something important to say. It wasn't because he just wanted to make a news flash. Come on, church. He's sitting there addressing the nation about something important. Here comes the son, crawls up in his lap, gets a pencil out, starts drawing on a piece of paper. And he said, well, you know, that's my boy. But the story is when he got to the front door to go in there, one of the security guys stopped him and said, hey, you know, this kid's 4 years old. He said, you can't go in there. He said, you better get out of the way. My daddy owns this place. Glory. Some of us need to grab that attitude. We need to let the devil know, hey, my daddy owns this place. You need to understand something. You're just running it for a while, but the time's coming. You're going to get put in your place, and my daddy's coming, and he's with me, and you don't control nothing's got anything to do with me because I am an overcomer, because I'm already a child of God. Stand with me all over the house. Power we need to be overcomers in the presence of God. Power to be set in motion. Power to overcome. Power, the authority. You say, what are you getting at? Because I'm a son of God, I have the office and the authority of that office. I'm a child of God. I'm somebody. Hello? Do you think that when a child of a king walked down the street, folks didn't jump because they realized one sooner or later he'd like to be on the throne? He's got royal blood in his veins. I don't know about y'all, but I got demons hate to see me coming. Y'all run around, oh, demons. I ain't worried about them. I've been in places where I should have cried, and I didn't because I had God on my side. I've done some stuff in my life. I look back at it now going, you know, that's pretty stupid. But I did it because I wasn't afraid. Come on, church. I also didn't know what was going on. I walked out to a guy rolled up on a bicycle in Honduras with a shotgun in his hand. He got through saying he's going to kill everybody. I didn't understand what he said. I walked out there with a sucker, gave it to him, said, man, you know, I love you. And I'm shaking his hand. He's looking at me. Interpreter come grab me and said, get in the car. Dude said he's going to shoot everybody, and you walk up 10 mil out of him. I said, well, he didn't shoot me. Glory. I left without holes. But I got a God that took care of me. And as long as I'm working for him, he's always going to take care of me. So I say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm not leaving here till it's my time, and until it's my time, I'm here. I don't know about y'all, but Paul made the mistake of going early, and he sent him back. I ain't doing that. Because I understand power. I understand the authority of God. Hello? Some of us need to understand the power God's put in our life, and instead of backing off when the devil gets in our face, we need to stand up and say, wait a minute. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. For the angels of the Lord are camped around about me. No matter how many you got, we outnumber you 2-1. You might as well hit the road. You ain't going nowhere in this place. Hallelujah. Preacher, you're crazy. Might be. But in the 40-something years of living for God, I've had confrontations with Satan, and I've always won. And the more I win, the more confident I become. Hello? I've prayed 3 satanic priests through to salvation. Two of them became preachers of the gospel after being preachers of the ungodly gospel. Hello? I had a witch tell me one night, "You don't understand. Marcus is going to come see you." I said, "Yeah, give him his card. That's got my address on it. He won't have no problem finding me." She said, "I ain't playing." I said, "Look, City DeBue, everybody knows me. Just tell him to ask for Ken." I said, "If he can't find my house, they'll direct him straight to me." Marcus never showed up. Hello? Why? Because I wasn't afraid of him. She's trying to send some demon to my house. She gave him a name. I'd have talked to him, showed up. I said, "Marcus, you're in the wrong place, dude. You need to go." We need to understand the power that's on our side. Instead of living in fear, we need to live in power and in anointing, in the presence of God. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty that liberates us from all this that's been holding us down and putting us out. You say, "Preacher, you're crazy." I might be, but I'm no longer a drug addict and alcoholic. I'm a child of God, washed in the blood of Calvary, because I realized one day he couldn't hold me anymore. He had no hold on me through the power of God that came into my life. And I'm telling you this morning, some of you need to take authority over some things in your life and become an overcomer and let the devil know, "I'm not walking in fear anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. I know that I know that I know there is power in the name of Jesus to set me free, and whosoever the Son of God hath made free is free indeed." Father, we thank you today for your love, your mercy, your power, your grace. Lord, have your way in this house. In Jesus' name, touch us with your anointing. Father, move on us with your grace. We believe you, God. Have your way. In Jesus' name.